OK, Dave, let's get experimental then. You teased us earlier and said, can you tell us why a train stays on the rails? You said that this sounds simple but is more subtle than that. What's the problem then?
Well, the obvious way that people think trains stay on the rails is that a train wheel has got a flange on the inside, so a bigger disc on the inside. And when this kind of bumps into the rail, then it kind of turns the wheel around a bit and it carries it going on in a straight line. And this does happen sometimes. It actually happens on toy trains. So toy trains, the corners are very, very sharp and they work like that. And also, if sometimes you get around an incredibly sharp corner, so sometimes on points, or I know there's one somewhere just sort of south of the river in London, and you go around a very, very sharp corner and it makes this horrible squealing
noise. Yeah.
Going around the corner like this, the flanges are kind of grinding against the inside of the rail. It makes a horrible, horrible noise. And you do get round, but it's not something you want to be doing at 100 miles an hour.
Do trains have differential like cars do?
They don't. They actually have a completely solid axle with the wheels attached absolutely solidly. So you get the problem when you go around a corner that the outside wheel should be going further than the inside wheel. And they're both turning at the same rate. So you really want the outside wheel to be bigger than the inside wheel.
Not trivial to achieve. And is that part of the reason why also, when you go around a very sharp corner, you would get a problem?
Yeah, you will also start getting slipping. One wheel's got to slip. They do actually, in order to reduce the noise, they kind of inject grease onto the rail just before the train goes in. But it still doesn't work very well and it makes a horrible noise.
Usually history provides an interesting narrative or a solution in this circumstance. So what does history tell us about the early railway engineers and how they encountered this problem?
Well, this was certainly a problem. They started off making horse-drawn railways. So in the kind of 1820s and early, back in the 18th century, they started off with wooden rails and they started going on to steel rails. And they had this problem trying to keep things on the rails. They started off by putting flanges on the wheels, or sometimes even had flanges on the rails. So you'd have a normal straight wheel and it'd be running along. So you've got simple cylindrical wheels with flanges, and I've got a model here to show you what happens with a cylindrical wheel. So I've got a slightly sloping board, and I've got two rails, which I've made out of two pieces of pipe insulation, just sort of foam tubes. And I've got various different wheels I can roll down it.
It's also got an aesthetic curve. Is that by design?
It's a bit of both. It sort of happened by accident that my pipe insulation has been sitting in the loft of my garage for a long time and bent a bit, but it's also convenient because a straight piece of railway is easy to stay on. A bit of a curve adds a bit of challenge.
So we're looking for your surrogate railway wheels to actually follow the curve as it goes down.
That's the idea. So I've got a straight cylinder here, which was originally a squash bottle. I've chopped the top off. And if I try rolling this down...
Well, there's absolutely no mistaking that. I mean, within seconds, it was off the rails, quite literally.
Exactly. It starts off going in a straight line, and as soon as the rails curve out of the way, it falls off. Now, as people started to make railway wheels by casting them rather than making them like an old wagon wheel, they tended to be slightly conical in shape. This is because if you want to get it out of a mould, it's a lot easier to get a cone out of a mould than a cylinder because everything kind of gums up. And so I've made some railway wheels here which are conical. So I've made them with two plastic pint glasses, and I've tried taping two of them bottom to bottom, so it's wider on the outside than in the middle. And that kind of looks like it might work.
It looks a bit like a diablo, doesn't it? The thing you would normally wheel along a string. So you've got two glasses glued base to base, looking like a diablo, and you're going to put that on. You'd think that would work quite well, actually.
It sort of has a look of some flanges. It might hold it on. We can give it a go.
Oh, that was interesting. Unlike the straight tube, which just sort of fell off but carried on going straight, that one went a bit wrong and then it went a lot wrong. So it sort of completely went off the rails very abruptly.
It sort of went in the opposite curve to the one which the rails were going on.
And in the opposite direction, yeah.
So it went off in the wrong direction. So this is because as soon as it goes slightly wrong, you have got one wheel a different size than the other.
But the one which is pushing it away... i.e. in the wrong direction, is the bigger one.
Yeah, so the one on the inside of the rail curve is now bigger than the one on the outside of the rail curve, so it actually turns in the wrong direction, and it goes around a beautiful corner, but off into the woods. So that gives a hint as what the right answer is, and that's to put your two cones together with the wide ends together. So I've taken the two glasses and taped them together with the wide ends together, and so you've got two cones going away from that. We'll give that a go.
Beautiful. It just follows the curve perfectly. So is that because there's now a restoring force pushing it sideways, the right way as the curve kicks in?
An easy way to think about it is as soon as it goes slightly wrong to the right-hand wheel gets bigger than the left-hand wheel, and if the right-hand wheel is bigger than the left-hand wheel, it turns to the left. And so it follows the curve. So as soon as it goes wrong, it follows the curve round, and it gets back into the middle of the rails. This can also produce a slightly interesting problem, which is if you deliberately push it off in the wrong direction, so it starts going, so it's going off, it should correct itself.
So you rolled it with quite a strong angle in the wrong direction to the curve, and it restored round to follow the curve naturally again.
But what it can do is then overcorrect, and so it starts to wiggle down the rails. And this is why, particularly if you watch old films with railway engines on them, and the trains just sort of rock gently side to side. This is the wheels going up and down the tracks.
You say old trains. Have they got some clever way of damping it today, then?
They've basically played a lot with the dynamics of the bogies, and they've made the wheels inside the bogies be able to move slightly and tuned everything so as it doesn't happen at the kind of speeds where it's driving. There's a lot of research being put in the sort of 60s and 70s, which solved the problem.
It's amazing what you can do with a drinks bottle, two bits of pipe lagging and a polystyrene table tilted at about 25 degrees. Dave, thank you for that amazing explanation. And you've written this up on the web.
Yep, it's nakedscientist.com/kitchenscience, and I've written it all up, and there's a nice video to show you what to do.
How it all works. So you can find it there, nakedscientist.com/kitchenscience. Dave, thank you.